today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme which looks at the issues of today through the papers of yesterday. Wind power, very much in the news of late. Indeed, we've looked at it in an earlier episode of Old News. I thought perhaps we could revisit today as, if anything, there's even more news about possible wind farms being placed on the island, either down south or up north, maybe somewhere else, maybe not at all. Lots of people against them, some people speaking for them. Who knows where it will go? Suffice to say, is it new news? Of course not. The idea of wind power has been around in Manx News and the Manx papers for longer than you think, as we discovered in the last one. I had a bit more of a rummage back in the archives. How about the Isle of Man Times, Tuesday, March the 12th, 1895. Wind motors for electricity, etc. The article says, "We have great pleasure in calling the attention of our readers to the Rollason wind motor, a recent invention which presents infinite possibilities for the working of electric lighting installations and for pumping, grinding, irrigation and other machinery. Our illustration gives a good idea of the mill that a prolonged description is unnecessary, but we may say this form of motor is quite a departure from the ordinary construction of windmills which are now in use, it being a horizontal design or arrangement erected within a skeleton turret. From the top to bottom of the centre or axis of the turret is provided a vertical steel shaft having five concave sails attached which revolve on radius rollers immersed in oil. On these sails are fixed a number of inclined ridges or planes which deflect the force exerted by the wind to their peripheries. Between the sails and the shafts is arranged a considerable open space which allows the wind to actuate three sails out of the five at the same time. Outside the sails is a framing supported by six radial or cross arms which are bolted to a central bearing which is free to rotate independently of the sails. From the top of the shield is a second vertical shaft continued through the roof of the turret, and to this is fixed a vane so that when the direction of the wind changes, it moves the shield into the correct position for only the concave sides of the sails to catch the wind. On the top of the sail shaft is fixed a cup containing a quantity of oil, within which are rollers by which the shaft actuates the shield. The weight of the vane shaft is carried on an independent roller bearing fixed in the roof of the turret, and the whole weight of the sails and framing carrying the shield is thrown to the centre bearings on the bottom of the turret, which thus gives the working parts of the motor the desired balance." Did you get all that? It says the invention is simple, efficient, and has few working parts, which are arranged to run in oil so are always lubricated and prevents corrosion. It can, it says, therefore be left working for a lengthy period without any attention and is capable of taking up a breeze or accommodating itself to a gale. Its ready adaptability for erection on buildings, as the turret can be built to suit any style of architecture. It's claimed there's a working motor like this at Wilston Junction, which was 20 foot in diameter and erected on an open iron structure 30 foot high and being used for generating electricity for lighting purposes. And at the end of the article it says, "A motor of this kind ought to be of enormous value in this island of ours, more especially in the country districts, to which the carriage of coal is so expensive that steam power is practically forbidden on account of the great outlay. If the motor will perform only half of what is claimed, it should very soon win its way into general adoption." The Mona's Herald of Wednesday, January the 12th, 1910, has an article under the heading Agricultural Notes, and it goes on to say that engines using gas, oil, petrol, benzene, or alcohol are winning favour as they enable the owner to follow the fuel market. Wind turbines for the production of electricity, improved pasteurisers, improved drying kilns for corn, a grain conditioning machine, a sorting machine for grain pulse and small seeds, improved swathe turners and direct thrust potato diggers are among the ingenious and useful additions to this year's list of appliances. And of the Isle of Man Times, January the 3rd, 1953, was there a 200 mile per hour gust of wind? This one has a drawing of what looks like a relatively modern wind turbine, like a giant aeroplane blade on a large tower. Eyebrows were raised throughout the island a fortnight ago, says the article, when it was reported that in a recent gale, a gust of 130 miles per hour had been recorded on Snaith Fell. Experts, however, believe the gusts were well in excess of that speed, and it's now almost certain that the winds that blow over Snaith Fell are too strong to allow the erection of a wind generator, which could have boosted the island's supply of electricity at very little cost. What is certain is that it must have taken an enormous gust of wind to blow the wind recorder down from the top of its 35-foot steel mast on the summit of Snaith Fell, and when it was picked up, it recorded a gust of over 200 miles per hour. Recordings of wind speeds on Snaith Fell are kept by the Isle of Man Electricity Board for the Electrical Research Association of Great Britain, which is busy testing 70 hill and mountain sites in the British Isles for their possibilities as wind generator stations. Recordings are checked every week, but an out-of-schedule trip was made to the summit a fortnight ago after the engineer in the Ministry of Civil Aviation cover station there had reported that the wind recorder had been blown down. The hooks had been ripped right off the instrument, stated an official of the Electricity Board on Wednesday. It must have taken a terrific gust to do that. He explained that the chart marked by the instrument is renewed weekly, and under normal conditions, it's possible by looking at the chart to tell the wind speed at any given period during the week. The recordings are made by dots that are normally far enough apart to be seen by the naked eye, but after the recorder had been blown down, the dots were so close together that it was only possible to see them under a magnifying glass. The instrument appeared to be perfectly sound, he said, but there may have been some defect. To find out, we've sent it to the Electrical Research Association for a report. The recordings on the machine appeared to show gusts in excess of 130 miles per hour. Gusts of even up to 100 miles per hour would appear to rule out the possibility of a wind generator on Snaith Fell. The first has already been erected on the hill in Carnarvonshire, and as our illustration shows, it resembles a streamlined windmill. The steel tower is 100 feet high, and it's held up by 12 steel cables, while the aluminium alloy blades are 80 feet across and generate 100 kilowatts at a wind speed of 30 miles per hour. Experiments have already been carried out in the United States, France and Denmark, and it's estimated that if 500 wind generators were erected in Britain, they would save nearly 2 million tons of coal a year. And it finishes saying that during the war, a giant 1,250 kilowatt wind turbine was blown down in a storm in the United States, and it is improbable that a windmill could be built strong enough to resist the gusts of wind on Snaith Fell, which have broken heavy teak doors on the cover station outbuildings. I don't think we'll be seeing a wind farm on the top of Snaith Fell anytime soon. Whether we see them on other parts of the island remains to be seen. Whatever happens, it is, of course, old news. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.